Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medications secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the weekly edition of The Wrap. I'm Laura Leslie, WRL Capital Bureau Chief. Will Doran is not in the office today, so it'll be just me walking you through what happened on Jones Street this week. The big story of the week, of course, Balanced Nutrition. That's the business that is run by Yolanda Hill, the wife of Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. It emerged as an issue here and there in the primary campaign, but not all that much. But just earlier this month, Ms. Hill said that she was going to close it down. Well, it's since come to light, reported first by Colin Campbell, among many over the course of the week, that the business was actually under review by the Department of Health and Human Services for its handling of money, its financial statements, basically its compliance with a lot of the different federal and state rules that they have to comply with. It looks like that that business is likely to be in for a pretty significant review just coming up in the next week. I spoke with Ms. Hill yesterday. She told me that she felt like she was being targeted politically by the department for extra scrutiny. And for evidence, she cited the caseworker who or the consultant who did her review last year had apparently taken a screenshot of her Facebook page and sent it to other people at the DHHS, pointing out that she was the wife of Mark Robinson. And Yolanda Hill says that's proof that there's some kind of political vendetta going on here. Obviously, the review coming up this week will tell, next week, I should say, will tell us a lot more about what is or isn't actually there. In the meantime, good news for budget writers this week. We got news that we will go into the next fiscal year with what looks like about $1 billion surplus. That is at least the projection at this point, although things will have to firm up more in the next few weeks. That's going to give lawmakers a little bit of wiggle room over the course of the year. They've got several things that they need to spend some money on or would like to spend some money on. Lots of demands for pay raises, especially among teachers. Speaker Moore has said that he'd like to put some more money into opportunity scholarships, the voucher program, which ran out of money because of the demand really opening up this year after they changed the guidelines. And of course, child care providers have said they desperately need about $400 million to avoid a cliff that could lead to like one out of three child cares in the state closing. Part of that revenue picture for next year may include money from sports betting. We learned this week that the money from the first month of sports betting last month brought in about $12 million for the state. Maybe not as much as a lot of people were thinking, but you have to, given the fact that North Carolinians bet $456 million or so of their own money, not counting the promotional money. But you have to remember, the state gets 18% of the take that the sports books have at the end of the day, and that amounts to the $12 million. Now, that is Representative Jason Sain said that was more than they were anticipating. Said it looks good. You know, they look forward to having this revenue. There's a lot of uses that they already have lined up for it. But it'll be interesting to see how that figures in as they're deciding what they're going to spend money on over the next year. Also, big news this week, the Elections Oversight Committee met to hear from Karen Brinson-Bell, State Elections Director. She made the point that elections basically, they need a lot more money for elections and a lot more staff. They've got a lot of trouble with turnover, major turnover among county directors. And coming into a presidential election year, that's not good news. A lawmaker said, well, your turnover rate isn't that much higher than anywhere else in state government. Yeah, but these people need to know a lot, right? This is the kind of thing that is a large loss of accrued experience, right, of institutional knowledge with these folks leaving. She also talked a little bit about, in response to a question from one of the representatives on the panel, talked a little bit about AI. She said that they are already trying to figure out what they'll do when AI shows up in elections. And we already know it's shown up some in political ads, of course, and we've been covering that for the last year or two. But she said, you know, it really has the potential to throw the entire election process into jeopardy. She said, what if somebody deep faked her or the governor or a lawmaker or somebody saying that the election won't really be held on, you know, the day that it's being held, or they're shutting down poll places because there's a hurricane that there really isn't, or something along those lines. So she said they're already trying to sort of get ahead of this, figure out how they would respond to it, and get their presence out there on social media. But she said another concerning part about this is the chatbots that a lot of people use. You know, ChatGPT, a lot of people go to those, they ask questions to get information. Well, they tested 5 different platforms to see what they could tell people about the North Carolina voter ID law. And some of them were just flat wrong. Almost all of them had something wrong with them. So, you know, this is just a long way to go, obviously, in making sure that AI is giving people accurate information about elections. We also heard from the House Select Committee on Substance Abuse that they're going to be asking the full House to consider putting tianeptine onto the scheduled substances list. Now, tianeptine is what we've talked about before, gas station heroin. It is a substance that is actually an antidepressant that's used in some other countries in much smaller doses. But in big doses, it really mimics the symptoms of heroin, and it's also just about as addictive. So people, they say, are getting hooked on this stuff and not even knowing what it is. So there's a push to get that put on the scheduled substances list, controlled substances list, rather, so that they can get it off of store shelves. Right now, there's sort of a voluntary recall. The CDC has issued warnings about it. FDA has issued warnings about it, but you can still find it on the shelves pretty easily. Let's take a break for one moment here to let our sponsors talk to you, and we'll be right back after this. And we're back with this week's wrap. Also, big news this week from the IT department. They gave a presentation to an oversight committee this week talking about the expansion of broadband and said that they were, you know, carrying on well. They've got almost $2 billion, I think, to distribute between federal and state money to try to get broadband expanded in North Carolina. But they said that the lawmakers are asking lawmakers to change one of the requirements that they put into this. And this goes back to the money that we got from the American Rescue Plan. And lawmakers apportioned a bunch of money for that for broadband infrastructure. And the way they kind of had set it up, they had envisioned that the state would cover about a third of it, the county would match about a third of it, and private industry would match about a third of it. And they had asked counties to please put aside some of their ARA money to do this match. Well, what Nate Denny over at IT told them this week is that some of the counties didn't do that. Some of the counties used their money for other things like water and sewer infrastructure or economic development. So he said, you know, he's asking lawmakers to consider possibly taking the match requirement off of counties to make sure that they can get to some of these lower income counties, because otherwise they're running out of places to spend the money that can afford the match. Lawmakers weren't too happy about that, but it's kind of hard to argue that the lower income counties are the ones that probably really need the infrastructure the most. So I suspect we'll see some movement on that. In the meantime, looking ahead to next week, lawmakers come back for work, of course, on Wednesday. We're not expecting a lot of big action necessarily next week, but the Senate Transportation Committee will be holding a confirmation hearing on Thursday for Joey Hopkins. You might remember he was appointed to lead the DOT after the former secretary there decided to retire. So we'll have that confirmation hearing for you, of course, coverage of that and all the action next week here on The Wrap. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
And in local news, the Designery of North Raleigh is holding a grand opening event at noon on May 16th. Please stop by and join the party. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of the Designery.
I am True Merrill. I am the project manager. The Designery grand opening, we're scheduled to open May 16th and do our grand opening party then. We're going to be catering some food. We're doing some giveaways. We have a VR headset, an Echo Show, some kitchen gadgets, and some fancy knives. 12 to 2 p.m.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery at thedesignery.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.